Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Wings with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, I always got to thank everybody that's been supporting me, showing me love. Man, you done put me up to like in the top 10 in the world on FeedSpot for Black Mental Health. You put me in the top 10 for mental health podcasts, and then in the top 10 for best mental health podcast. So I appreciate you so much for listening and supporting me, even through my ups and downs, not being as consistent as I should be. You know, the last few months have been great, but also been difficult. I don't know if I mentioned in the other podcast, you know, I had some issues, had a little blood clot in my lungs after a procedure that I had. So I was pretty much getting through that. There was a lot of things going on, but I'm really at a great place right now. If you follow me on Instagram, Casanova Williams on Instagram, you'll definitely see my progress and where I'm at right now. I'm 30 pounds down. And life is really good right now. So I sat down, and I know I said this before once again, but I'm definitely sat down and I really, really thought about things. And, you know, this podcast is actually the reason where I am today in life. It helped me so much. Your listening and support, it helped me so much. So I really this time what I did was I arranged my life to make sure that I give you this podcast. And my other podcast, you know I told you before, I'm not going to do Black Men's Mental Health or my other podcast under Black Men's Mental Health. Even though y'all been listening to it, y'all been supporting it and showing love. So don't get me wrong. And those other podcasts on those subjects were really keeping the podcast alive and going while I was out on hiatus, you know, handling my health. But, you know, I need to give y'all everything the way it should be done. So, you know, I'm going to be having Achieving Success podcast by itself. I'm going to have the Podcast Guru podcast by itself. They'll be separate. And I'm going to just focus with Black Men's Mental Health on Black men issues. Not that those other things aren't important in the Black community. They are, but I feel they need their own podcast so I could really expand on those more. And I want to stay focused on Black men's mental health issues in our community because it's definitely needed. Also, what I'm doing is I'm going to get really focused on topics on my podcast now. It worked the way it was working that we were talking about certain, but I want to get more focused and get more serious. I've been getting a shitload of opportunities, you know, speaking engagements, interviews, all this stuff, and I've been turning them all down. And not because I don't think I can do it or I'm not qualified, because I just feel like I need to keep the podcast genuine. I don't want to get in a way where I'm one of these commercial people that are doing this for clicks or for likes or for clout. I really want to stay focused on the purpose of this podcast because this podcast, in a sense, saved my life. And I don't want to abuse it or cheese it up in any way. I want to keep it authentic. So moving forward, I'm going to be very focused on topics and I'm going to be focused on Black men issues. This podcast has always been unapologetic. This podcast has always been genuine and I'm going to keep it that way. So with that said, I wanted to restart this new season. I put this new season number 4, talking about breaking the silence. And what I mean breaking the silence is, I mean, I feel that there is this silence when it comes to Black men's mental health. I believe that we sit around and we see the
the decay of black men in America right now. And the attack is being spearheaded by not only our black women, but by black men. We are in a state where we are self-destroying ourselves and opening the doors for other women, for women to do it to us as well. Now we could talk about how America views black men, and we all know that already. We are viewed as criminals. We as viewed as sex addicts. We are viewed as everything wrong in America. When you think about everything opposite of what America is, it's a black man. When you look at the face of criminal activity, is a black man. When you look at the face of deadbeat dads, it's a black man. When you look at the face of sexual predators, it's a black man. Now, even though most of those areas I touched upon, there are others as well. Statistically, we are not the leader, the high percentage, or the cause in any way. But America has deemed that no matter what it is in America, we are the face of it when it comes to anything negative or anti-American. So when you're a black man, you have to go out there and deal with it. And the bad thing about it is that you have to deal with it in silence. Because when you state these things, it's, oh, see, you want a pity party. Oh, see, you know, you're just deflecting. Oh, see, I mean, we get so much negative pushback. Now, we understand as a man in general, life is going to be difficult. I'm writing my book. My book is like 99% finished. It's talking about men are meant to be broken. And it talks about the responsibilities men have regardless of the obstacles that are in our way. But just because we have to deal with it doesn't mean we can't acknowledge it and talk about it and bring it to the forefront. We sit here as men thinking that the world is ours. And we do. As a man, we build everything. We are the leaders. But unfortunately, there's a backlash, especially when it comes to black men with that. Because we are respected and have so much power that power is always challenged. We are always seen as a threat. I know me as a black man, the other day I was having a discussion with a friend and she said that my actions were seen as aggressive. And I was just persistent in my standards. You know, it was a situation that I wouldn't allow. And I was just persistent on my standards. I said, this is my standards on this, and I'm not in any way going to move. And she said, oh, that was a little aggressive. Now, as a black man, you understand what the word aggressive means. Now, aggressive for a white man or any other culture is different than a black man. That is the word that is used in the notation of violence. The black man is aggressive. Now, there's aggressive in business, in love, in pursuit, in eagerness to achieve. Everybody, you know, everybody has aggression. But with a black man, it takes a different tone. When you say a black man was aggressive, they automatically think violence. When she said that to me, I said, you know what? And this is a true story, absolute true story. I said, you need to use another word around me when you say that, because what you're saying is not aggressive for a black man is taken differently. She's like, well, you know, I was like, what was aggressive about what I was saying when I was standing on standards? Well, it was just a little bit like forward and pushy. I was like, how's it pushy if I decided to stand on my standards that I would not allow you to overtake? How is that aggressive in your mind? You know, see, the problem is that when you stand on business, as the young people say now, especially as a black man, it seems aggressive. It seems because we're not, for some reason, I don't know what it is. We're supposed to be leaders, be assertive, but also be submissive to people's feelings and ideas as well. The two don't really mix. And let me tell you why. There is no way for me to stand on business and be a leader, but also always, not sometimes, but always take into account your feelings and be sensitive. Some decisions need to be made that you're not going to understand. That's just the role of a leader. But nowadays, they don't want that. So when you are that, you're aggressive. They use words that are going to make view you in a violent nature because obviously at the end of the day, you're a black man. So, of course, it's violent. See, and we don't talk about that. We silence that because at the end of the day, they want to throw it under the rug. Anything we do is aggressive. Anything we do is violent. Everything we do is something that is not American. We need to break the silence. And now let me be on the other side, too, because I'm going to play devil's advocate. You know, it's not even devil's advocate. I'm going to speak the truth. As black men, we have to also understand our role in writing that narrative for ourselves. Now, we can sit there and talk about systematic racism, corporations using us for money, breaking up the home, putting the black man in disadvantage. I mean, we could talk about all that, but I'm really at a point in my life where I'm talking about self-responsibility. That's what all the new book I'm writing is about. It's not negating, the issues that we have against us in America. Because I think people don't understand the difference. You could say that we have a problem or you did something to me. I am a victim. But you could also reflect on what you are doing or have done to put you into a position to be a victim. Right? See, we have this idea that once you're a victim, everything else you do is justified and is okay. Once again, I have a friend and this person got into some criminal stuff years ago. And this person is close to getting off their probation. And apparently they paid their last restitution and and they went to court to get off of their probation. They want to do some traveling, and they were told, well, when you paid the money, a percentage of that money went to court fees, and now you owe the percentage that was taken for the court fee. So if you paid like $1,000 and 2% went to court fees, you know, $20 each thing's accumulated as far as what you owe. So this person has been on probation for about 2-3 years, something like that. So they acquired that fee every month. Now, when they went to get off, they still owed that percentage because that percentage didn't go to the victims. It went to the court. So they have to pay that, you know. And so they were complaining about how the court system isn't fair. It was set up. This person's lawyer, and all these complaints, right? And they were very, very justified. You know, it's kind of, you know, messed up with the court not to tell you this situation and stuff like that. But then I said, and, you know, sometimes I'm an asshole. You know, that's why sometimes people don't like to talk to me because I try to deal in actual facts rather than how you feel. And I said to this person, I said, I get what you're saying. It's unfair what happened to you. They should have told you. Right. Because let me put it in the context. This person wasn't complaining because of it's a truly unfair. They were complaining mostly because they planned a trip. And if they don't get off their probation, they may not be able to take their trip because it's out of the country. So that's the big whoop, right? And with all of that, I said, well, yes, the court system is unjust. You know, it is unfair. And they do have a lot of double standards and things they do. I was like, but, you know, it's funny how when you do a crime, you complain about the fairness of the punishment. Because when you're doing the crime, you're not thinking about the fairness to the victim. When you're stealing from somebody or you injure somebody in a car accident because you was drinking or you abuse somebody or hit somebody or steal from somebody, whatever you do. At that time, you're not thinking about that victim and how fair that situation is to them. But then all of a sudden, when you get caught, you want the justice system to treat you fairly. You want them to say, this is your punishment, and this is what you do to get whole again, to get right with those people. But the people you victimize, those things go on for years. The torment of somebody violating you physically or mentally or sexually, somebody violating your house or injuring you because of your ignorance or whatever. Those are, you know, the victims should be able to tell, this is what I want for the punishment. That's going to make me whole. But the court system does it, which is fine. But then we complain when the court system isn't, quote unquote, fair. But it wasn't fair when you was victimizing those people. That wasn't fair. And it's just really funny to me. Now, I'm not negating that the court system does things that are really bad. But it goes back to what I said earlier. What did you do to get there? You put yourself in a position to allow yourself to be a victim to these people. Like I say about my black people, especially black men, we complain about jails. We always got free Pookie shirts. But at the end of the day, Pookie should have been on the block selling drugs. You know, I grew up with drug dealers that knew the consequences of what they did. They didn't blame nobody for their outcome. They didn't cry. It was like, yo, there's only two. You know, I was a little jit, as they called it. You know what I'm saying? The big homies, the big OGs on the block that were out there slinging it, doing it. They used to tell us jits, you know what I'm saying? When we were young, like, yo, don't get into this life, young blood. Stay in school, because you get into this life, you know, there's only two outcomes. Either you're going to go to jail or you're going to die. See, they accept. Now, I'm not saying it's right, but they understood the consequences of what they were doing. And they, when they went to jail, they weren't crying. They weren't snitching. They weren't doing nothing. They knew the consequences of the life they lived. They knew that. So they weren't asking the block to, you know, put shirts on and nothing like that. They were like, yo, I did it. I knew the consequences. I got to handle it. See, that's what it's about. Nowadays, We'll rob somebody, but then go and cry that the court system's unfair. The whole block is wearing free Pookie shirts. Pookie done murdered old granny on the block selling drugs or sold drugs to the community and to add it. You know what I'm saying? And we up there talking about free Pookie. See, this podcast is called Breaking the Silence. And Breaking the Silence isn't only breaking the silence on what's unfair about being a black man in America and the unfair treatment we endure. But it's also about looking at ourselves and breaking the silence on true things. We can't sit here and say, don't criminalize me as a black man, when at the end of the day, all our rap music that we put out and we promote and you know, we have a culture of violence that we put out, from the way we dress to the way we act to some of our mannerisms. And I'm not going to sit here and lie. I was part of that. I was part of that stuff. So I'm not sitting here trying to not to judge others and say, oh, well, I was good. No. I was part of that culture as well. Wearing the hoodies, the baggy jeans, talking about I'm real, listening to the real hood music, talking about I'm a real nigga, things like that. Trust me. I was raised in the Bronx, New York, in the projects on welfare, single mother home. So I understand what it is. So I get it. But that doesn't mean that it was good. Because now, if I'm in the street, I'm wearing baggy jeans with some Tims and a hoodie, looking like every other criminal, and the police see me, how you think they're going to treat me? And this is culturally, as black men, we got to stop treating ourselves as criminals and promoting criminal ideas and lifestyles. Now, I'm not saying rap music is bad. I'm not saying style is bad, but we got to know when to do it. And we got to put our best foot forward. Like when we go to an interview, nobody goes to an interview talking, you know, yo, what up, my nigga? I want this interview. No, you go there, you put your best foot forward. And as a culture, we should be doing that, putting our best foot forward at all times. At all times. Now, that is not going to stop. That is not going to stop people from treating us a certain way in America. But it's going to start the conversation and start the motivation for us to elevate our culture, or to elevate us as black men to the next level. Because unfortunately, it'll take years for that type of idea to get out of people's heads. But all we could do is be accountable for ourselves. See, breaking the silence isn't just breaking the silence as far as people to know. Because see, the truth is, they know. People know. They know. We are at an evolutionary state that we know what's going on. We just choose not to want to change it or even acknowledge it. It's funny how we have all of these programs for black women, all of this support for black women. But as you see on the internet, the black woman is always the victim. At the end of the day, men ain't shit, but black women are having babies at an alarming rate. Not a regular rate, an alarming rate. Single parent, single black women are having babies. But all men ain't shit. Let's be honest. Let's break the silence on the real issue. And, you know, I could jump back and forth, people. I could go from us being victims to us being the victimer. I guess that's the right word. I don't know. To back to being victim, because this is all relevant. Because what I don't want you to do is demonize yourself. See, recognizing our problems and issues and things we do internally is okay without demonizing yourself. We can recognize what we do as black men to perpetuate this idea of us. But we should also have a discussion on things that are happening to us as well. And I think black women are happening to us. And what I mean by that is, we are too involved in the black woman narrative. Because to be honest, our worst enemy is a black woman right now. Is whether it's corporate America, the government, whatever culture, other culture, they're using black women to demonize us. But see, their action, black women actions don't state that. Because why would y'all have babies with guys that are demons? You know? Why would you keep involving yourself with a race of gender culturally that are just horrible? You know? And let's be real, man. My black man, I'm going to be 100% real. This is going to be for another topic. But the real demons aren't us. Black men are not the real enemy. Black women are the enemy to each other. And they're just using us to cover up their issues. Now, I know, God, you're like, oh, Cass is starting on his next level. And that's another topic we're going to talk about a little bit later. But understand that you are not the victim. You are not the bad person. You are not the demon as a black man. Now, can we do better? Yes. We can do better, man. We need to take accountability. We need to do better. But don't ever let anybody feel that you are the bad guy. You are. No, you are not. We need to break the silence on that, because we need to start stepping up, taking accountability, but also understanding what's happening to us and hold others accountable for what they're doing. And we do that by letting it be known, breaking the silence, talking about the issues. Now, I'm not here to talk about, see, I try to stay away from things like racism and things like that, because at the end of the day, you know, I think that term racism is used as a clutch. When you say racism, it's a clutch. Oh, you see, you're using that. So I try to stay away from that, because I want people to understand that it's a problem. I don't want to put racism on it, because then it takes this different tone. Like, oh, see, and then people don't respect that. I don't look at racism. I don't believe in that. I believe in there's people that are just ignorant and will hold others down to help themselves. You know, now you may say, well, that's kind of racism. And if it's based on color, that's racism. Yes, that's the word they use for it. But see, when you put that word on it, people don't tend to understand the core problem. The core problem isn't that you hate black people. The core problem is that you have hatred in your heart, and you need to address the hatred in your heart to hate somebody just because of something minuscule like a color of a skin. See, that's what we need to break the silence on as well, that it's not about labeling something. It's about saying to yourself, what problem do I have that's causing me to have racism or have hatred in my heart? So we need to break the silence on all of that. Especially as black men, we need to break the silence on what we're doing to each other, what others are doing to us. We need to be vocal about that. We can't get something that we're not portraying ourselves. So once we understand ourselves and what we're doing, then we could demand things, because we are holding the standard to ourselves. You can't ask others to hold a standard that we're not willing to have for ourselves. You can't say, I need you to always give me red crayons, but then all of a sudden we're always working with blue crayons. No, we got to have a standard. Breaking the silence is us black men having a standard and asking others to uphold that standard that we also perpetuate. All right, guys, I appreciate y'all. This is Black Men's Mental Health Podcast, Breaking the Silence. Go to CasanovaWilliams.com. You can check out all my podcasts. This podcast, of course, plus the other podcasts will be dropping as well. Also, my podcast with my wife, me and her, we have a podcast called Divorce Not an Option. And also a couple of critics. Check that out, man. We're reviewing movies, and we have a staff of people that are working with us for reviews. So go to couplecritics.com. Check that out. You know, go to CasanovaWilliams.com. You can be up on me and everything I'm doing for my businesses, to the Culture Radio Network. Download the app on Apple and Google. We have about 15, 16 stations of music. Totally free. Check it out. First interactive chat, all that great stuff. So check it out. Until next time, guys.